Can you turn, please, tonight to Exodus chapter 30? That's Exodus chapter 30. Beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Exodus chapter 30. Verse 1 tells us, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of siddim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. Two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, and upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of siddim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burn sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year, with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. Half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout their generations. We'll end reading there at verse number 21. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse 12, Exodus 30, verse 12. We read there, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. In the previous chapters of Exodus, you see the children of Israel leaving the bondage of Egypt, with its servitude and slavery well behind them. You find the Israelites wandering the wilderness. Not long left Egypt, and it's seen still fresh in their minds. They firstly came to Camp Sinai. Whilst you find there at Mount Sinai, The majority of the people, they stood at the bottom of that mountain. Moses the prophet, he headed to the top of that mountain, and there he experienced the lofty presence of God. Whilst he was there, God communed with Moses for 40 days and 40 nights. He gave him the Ten Commandments, as well as other precepts and directives. And amongst these directives, there was a command and a direction given on how to number the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they were usually counted or reckoned or numbered when they were heading into war. You actually have this played out for you in the book of Numbers, where you read at the opening chapters of the book and the closing chapter of the book, that you find the children of Israel all counted or numbered. And here in this chapter, Exodus chapter 30, you find a little bit more detail about this numbering process. As the children of Israel were numbered, they weren't to come empty-handed. Rather, they were to bring with them half a shekel of silver, and it was known here as atonement money. And as they then presented this atonement money, or this ransom money, you find then that their soul was atoned for. And once their soul was atoned for, the plague that they would have received, it was stayed. And once this had happened, you then find Moses, he would have taken the name of that individual who had to come and personally present his atonement money. And Moses, he wrote that name down. And once he wrote that name down and that name was inscribed, that individual was then reckoned or counted on the roll or register of the people of Israel. And as a record was kept of those whose price had been paid in Israel, so the Lord has his roll call of the ransomed and redeemed. The Lord, he still keeps a roll call of those who have been bought by the price of the atonement or ransom of Jesus' blood. You find out about that roll call or that register, if you like, in many instances in Revelation. But in speaking of the righteous, we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father." The word blot out here, it just simply means to wipe out or to erase. It brings you back to your childhood days, doesn't it? Remember whenever you were writing in your jotter or your page and you made a mistake and you took your rubber and you rubbed out that mistake or you erased that mistake. Well, Christ here was saying that his people who had been bought by blood, once their name had been in the book of life, that it would never be rubbed out, it would never be blotted out, it would never be removed. Rather, they are indelibly inscribed on his roll call. You see, rather than being blotted out of the book of life, the child of God is counted into the book of life. And tonight, if you're a Christian, look forward to that day. Look forward to that day when you stand before God, and your name, which is in the book of life, it will be read out. But I wonder tonight, is your name in the book of life? Tonight, if you were to stand before God, and as we've been singing in that hymn, if the roll was to be called out yonder, I wonder, would your name be on that roll call? I wonder tonight, is your name on that register? That register. I wonder, is it on the roll call of God? Is your name in the book of life? And so I want to consider tonight the children of Israel here as they were being numbered or counted by Moses. Notice firstly with me here the place they occupied. The place they occupied. The word ransom here in this verse is the same word as atonement in verse 15. And it shows that if God's justice is to be satisfied, it will only be satisfied upon the payment of a ransom price or the payment of an atonement. And the fact that there needed to be a price paid by the children of Israel, It showed that they occupied a very precarious place before paying this money. Notice here, they were unsafe. Unsafe. In verse 12, we read, "When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them." The word plague here is rendered elsewhere as fall or even death. And the child or the member of Israel, he had to present his ransom money before Moses, the half a shekel of silver. And if he didn't present his atonement money, then he was in tremendous danger. He would have experienced a plague that would have led him to fall to his death. And in the Bible, you find this actually happened. Cast your mind forward to 2 Samuel 24, where there you find David, he numbered the children of Israel. But on that occasion, he didn't exact of them any atonement money. He didn't demand any ransom money. And as a consequence of this, you find God, he swept through the children of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, from the north to the south. And we find that 70,000 Israelites were slain over 3 days. The children of Israel here, they were there in the precarious place of being unsafe. How unsafe were they? They didn't bring their atonement. Then they would have fallen to their death. And verse 12 tells us that every man had to bring his own ransom money. Every man, every individual who was going to war from 20 years and above had to bring his ransom money. As if to emphasize that, again in verse 13 and 14, Moses here, he uses the phrase, everyone. In other words, there was no exception. You wanted to go to war with Israel. You wanted to be counted in that number of that army. Then you had to bring your ransom money. It was either pay the ransom or experience the plague. And in God's reckoning, it is either do or die. There needs to be a looking to Christ or a languishing forever in hell. The plague here, very simply, it's typological of sin. It's typological of that terrible fall that you will experience if you don't personally accept the atonement, the ransom price that is freely offered to you through Christ's sacrificial death. Indeed, in John 3, verse 36, really, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The word abideth here, it means to remain, to live, or to dwell. It has the idea of permanently continuing. And John tells us here, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, then the wrath of God, it permanently resides, it continues, it dwells upon you. You see, tonight, if you are unsaved, then you are extremely unsafe. You're in danger. You're in danger of experiencing the most terrible plague of all, the danger of your eternal ruin. Tonight, if you're not depending, you're not offering your ransom that is only found in the atonement of Jesus Christ, then what a terrible plight. What a terrible plight awaits you. Oh, my friend, what a plague. What a plague awaits you. What a plague awaits you. You know, the New York Times, it reports that during the attacks of September 11th, communication, as I'm sure you can imagine, was extremely difficult between officers and the rescue workers on the ground. And instead of using radio, as there was hardly any radio communication, to warn people who were actually in the World Trade Center, whenever the plane actually crashed into the Trade Center, that building was going to fall, messengers actually had to walk over to that Trade Center. They couldn't communicate by radio. And you know, one report in the New York Times, it stated that one messenger, he arrived with the information that the building had been hit and that it was going to fall less than 1 minute before the first tower fell. But tonight you're in far greater danger. My friend, you're in far greater danger. If you're not trusting the atonement, if you're not, as it were, presenting your ransom price before your heavenly Father, And my friend, a great plague awaits you. It's your eternal ruin. It's your eternal death in hell. Your eternal death in hell. They were unsafe. Something else here. Notice they were undivided. Undivided. Verse 15 we read, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they gave an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. In being undivided here, I mean there was no division, there was no difference between the people. It didn't matter what status, what rank they were from in society, the payment, it was still the same. So before Moses, the leader of that people, they were really undivided. It didn't matter whether a man was rich and he was dressed in robes, or whether he was poor and dressed in rags, the need was still the same. If he was rich, half a shekel really wouldn't have been all that much. It was just 2/5 of an ounce of silver. He would have easily been able to afford it. He would have been able to offer much, much more to Moses. But we find here that the payment, the price, it was still the same. It was set. It was a very specific price. Half a shekel of silver. And Moses here, he was saying to those candidates who wanted to enter into his army, he was saying that it doesn't matter your standing in society. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. The need's the same. It's either bring the half shekel or experience the plague. You see, we can be well thought of in society, yet ill thought of by the sovereign. You see, before God, all of us appear the same. Just like this incident, it doesn't matter tonight whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you be little, whether you be large. It doesn't matter your race, your religion, your riches, whether you've been catechized, baptized, whether you qualify, all appear before God exactly the same. Oh yes, we're different. We have different character qualities. We have different character traits. We have different character flaws. But all before God, we all appear the same. You ask me, well then, how do we all appear before God? How does God conclude we are all before him? Well, in Romans 3, verse 9, Paul takes up this very argument. And he says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And before this in Romans 3, Paul, he speaks of the privileges that the Jews had. He speaks of their privileges being given the lively oracles and so on. He then went on to say and went on to conclude that the Jew, even though he was privileged, he was no better than the Gentile. God, he concludes, all are the same and that all are under sin. You see, whilst we're all different, yet before God, we are all exactly the same. And tonight, whether you be the worst, the best, the richest, the poorest, the best of workers, the worst of workers, God has concluded that we are all under sin. We're all exactly the same. We all have exactly the same standing before God. It's either for heaven or for hell. For heaven or for hell. And I wonder tonight, which standing, which location are you heading for? We all have the same need, the need to present personally the atonement before God. You know, I can remember as a young lad, about 11 or 12, going on a really exciting trip with my father. We got up very early. It was the summertime. Got up very early. And we were going salmon fishing up the north coast. Made a big day out of it. We went with our uncle, who was a very, very good fisherman indeed. He knew just the perfect spot to start this young, budding angler. But whenever we got to that lake that we were hoping to fish in, it had many different types of fish. There were bream, there were brown trout, there were rainbow trout, there were a lot of different types of fish. And I was very excited about this. But when we arrived, we found that we couldn't fish. Do you know why we couldn't fish? Because the previous night there was a terrible pollution that had infiltrated that lake. And that rendered that way, it meant that we couldn't take any fish with us. And I say to you this evening that in the ocean of this world, all fish have been impacted by the pollution of sin. And I say to you, whether you're a big fish in society or a little fish in society, perhaps you're a dirty fish in society or a clean fish in society, it doesn't really matter. Because before God, we are all the same. All of Adam's posterity are all under sin. We're all the same. Yes, before men, we might appear better or worse. But before God, we're all the same. Like these people who really were candidates for Moses' army. It doesn't matter. We're undivided. The place they occupied. But notice secondly here the price they required. If they were to escape the plague and death, they were to come and pay the price of half a shekel of silver. Notice here about this price that it was a set price. A set price. In verse 15, we read, "The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls." It was a very set and specific price of half a shekel of silver. Now, there is some debate as to how much or how often this was paid. Some commentators believe that this was paid annually by every Israelite, and Christ refers to this when he speaks of rendering tribute unto Caesar. And there is another school of thought which believes that it was only when the people were numbered, only as they were going forth to war, and as you wanted to enter into the army, then you had to pay this price. The detail of how often it is paid is not really important. What is important is the payment itself. It was exact. You know, when you read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you find that there are other offerings which are open-ended. In other words, you could give as much as you wanted. You think of the free will offering, whenever you could give as much or as little as God had prospered you, according to God, how God had prospered you. But this particular offering, it was exact. It was half a shekel. Again, in verse 13, to emphasize this, we read, "A shekel is 20 gerahs." So we're whittling it down now into another measurement. So half a shekel was 10 gerahs. That equates to 2/5 of an ounce precisely today. And whenever a person was going to make this payment, verse 13 mentions the sanctuary. In other words, they had to enter into the sanctuary. And when they entered into the sanctuary, there was these scales that were set. And on this scale, there was exactly half a shekel. And the individual, he had to come, and he had to put his half a shekel, and he had to ensure that the scales, they balanced. And if they didn't balance, then his payment, it was rejected. It was a specific and set price that was paid as a ransom for the soul. And God has his set ransom price to atone for your soul. Nothing more and nothing less than the blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you want to be reckoned into, you want to be counted into God's family and God's army, then the only way is the way that God has set. The only way. It's through the atonement, through the ransom price of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Indeed, in Malachi 1 verse 8, we read, "If you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts." And you know that in the Old Testament, that whenever the individual was offering a lamb, it had to be a pure lamb. It had to be a spotless lamb. There couldn't be anything wrong with that lamb. It couldn't be sick. It couldn't be lame. But we find the children of Israel here in the book of Malachi, they were taking a shortcut in their worship of God. They were offering lame lambs. They were offering sick lambs. And here Malachi, he even says to the children of Israel, "Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Will he accept thy person? In other words, you wouldn't even offer such a thing to a governor, let alone your heavenly Father. They offered God a sacrifice that wasn't exactly as he had prescribed. And rather than setting the price in your own mind, you must come to the price of God's mind. And that price is very, very set. There's no budging, there's no changing that price. It's simply look to Calvary. Look to the price that Christ has paid for your salvation. That is the only price that will suffice. That is the only set price. The only set price that God has set. And I wonder you count it in. I wonder you, as it were, offering your half a shekel. Are you looking to Christ? Are you looking to his atonement? You know, a woman came to R.A. Torrey after a gospel meeting. And she said to him, "My maid, she was saved last night. She's so happy. I want what my maid has." This woman was quite well-to-do, and R.A. Torrey simply responded to her, "Madam, you can have what your maid has, but you must come the same way she came. You must repent of your sin and believe on Christ." And you know what that woman responded? She said, "Mr. Torrey, I couldn't come the same way as my maid. That wouldn't be proper." R.A. Torrey simply responded, "Well, madam, then you will have to perish in hell." You see, rather than coming to God your own way, you need to come to God his way. And my friend, his way is but one way. It's through Christ. It's through that set, that specific price of Christ's atonement. Are you trusting in that price? Are you looking to that ransom price this evening? It was a set price. Something else here. Notice it was a singular price. Singular price. Verse 12 we read, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord." Underline the phrase there, "every man." It means every individual. Every individual above 20 who wanted to join this war and be numbered amongst the army, they had to bring their own half shekel of silver. And that a man at the age of 20, he would have the means of paying for this himself. So it wasn't relational, nor was it even tribal. It didn't matter what tribe that individual was from, whether they were from the tribe of Levi or from the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Manasseh. If they wanted to be counted into the army of Moses, then the person had to come themselves. They had to bring their own shekel. They had to bring their own half shekel of silver. You see, salvation is not relational, nor is it even tribal. Salvation is personal. You must come, personally come to the atoning sacrifice of Christ. I say, you must look again personally to Christ. You cannot depend upon the salvation of your father, nor of the salvation of your family name. It's only through Jesus Christ. That is the price. The price has been set. I wonder tonight, are you trusting? I wonder, are you looking to that price? Indeed, in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, we read, "The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." And we read here that the Father is not accountable for the righteousness of the Son, and the Son is not accountable for the righteousness of the Father. Every man was personally accountable for their own personal righteousness. While salvation is a pressing matter, it's also a personal matter. And I wonder tonight, are you saved? Are you personally saved? Are you counted in? I wonder, when the roll is called up yonder, was your name, your personal name, is it there? I wonder, are you looking forward to that day when your name is personally called on the roll call of Jesus Christ? The place they occupied the price they required, but lastly and quickly, notice the position they procured. As they brought their half shekel of silver to Moses, something drastically changed. Verse 12, we read of this position changing. We read, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them." Whenever the individual presented his half shekel of silver, it stood then to reason that the plague was stayed. Once the atonement was made and the ransom was paid, the plague was stayed. Of course, this plague, it symbolizes God's wrath in judgment of sin. It means, as we saw earlier, it means a fall to death. In other words, once the ransom payment was made, the plague then, it was removed, and the effects of it as well. And that individual, he was now reckoned. He was now counted in. He was now numbered amongst the army of Israel. You see, without Christ, there is eternal death. But with Christ, there is eternal life. The effects of sin, they are removed, they are cancelled, and you're numbered. You're numbered amongst God's people. You're numbered, and your name is indelibly written down in the book of life. And when you trust Christ, this is exactly what happens. I wonder tonight, very simply as I close, I wonder which class are you in? I wonder, are you in the condemned or the not condemned? I wonder, are you counted in or are you counted out? I wonder, are you inside the book of life or are you outside the book of life? I wonder, when the roll call is read, will your name be absent or will your name be present? I wonder which one of you. I wonder when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? I'm glad I'm going to be there. I'm glad through the ransom price of Christ, I'll be there. But I wonder, will you be there? I wonder tonight, are you counted in? Are you counted in? Moses numbering the children of Israel. May God bless his word to your hearts and lives this evening.